Good evening, everybody. It's 7 o'clock. Time to kick off. Before we start, is there any questions? I know Philip about anything that is not on the agenda tonight. So it's you, Philip.
Okay, thanks.
That's enough.
I sort of deleted preemptive strikes, and this is purely a suggestion relating to the vehicle. And it's whilst COP26 is sort of a hot topic. We have biosphere status. I was thinking that we could write to Eton College to suggest it's a good PR exercise for them to plant oak trees on the Donkey Field rather than build houses. I mean, I think, you know, a nice subtle letter that we could also write to the press about in terms of our suggestion. I mean, Eton's got land all over the world. It may well work. Such things have worked before. So I'm just wondering whether the council could consider this and ask the clerk to write one of these nice letters.
Can we do that outside of an agenda item?
Well, if you're only asking a question, I don't think it's a problem.
I think it's a good idea. If you're just asking a question, I think that's fine.
We're not trying to throw the parish council's weight about or anything like that. So, yeah,
Brian did mention this to me earlier on today, and I thought it was a very good idea.
If no one's got any objections, we're not asking for them to give it to us. We're not asking for anything. We're just asking them to do something pleasant. So,
anybody else got anything? No? Okay. We'll get to the roadside in the fullness. Okay, apologies for absence.
So we've got Councillor Adams, Councillor Hardy and Councillor Gearlock Davis.
Okay. Anybody got any declarations of personal or prejudicial interest?
I think I ought to declare a personal interest in the roadside in because I do live quite close to it.
Okay.
But I don't think it's a prejudicial one because I think it's...
You've got no money in it, you've got nothing like that.
It's not peculiar, is it?
Fair enough. Good to mention it, though.
Okay, right. So approve the minutes of the previous PC held on the 18th of October. Anybody want to propose that?
Yeah, I will.
Thank you. Okay, and a seconder, please. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And all those in favour?
Okay. Right. While you're there, then Barry, we can sign them.
In favour?
Of the minutes. This is the minutes.
Yeah,
oh yeah, you can say no. Yeah,
that's fine.
Fair enough.
All right. Okay.
Of all the cheap.
Oh, I know. Not that old.
Would you mind?
Yeah.
Got to put
it
on
there.
Yeah, I know. I didn't think of that.
No.
It's the way it came out.
Okay. And your turn, Brian, please.
Since the last meeting, Councillor Jenkins has resigned from the Parish Council. Change in her personal circumstances has made it difficult for her to commit as much time to the Council as she thinks is appropriate. Electoral services have been informed, and currently the electorate have until the 25th of November to submit 10 signatures to request an election. If they get that into electoral services, then these notices are on the website and all around the village on the notice boards. So if those 10 signatures are not received, then for the next meeting you can, as members, consider some kind of scheme for co-opting someone potentially. Okay, so that might come up in the next meeting for you to have a think about how you're going to do that. The defibrillator at Seagrove Bay went live on the 19th of October and it's registered on the circuit, and the circuit is the national system that you're encouraged to put all defibrillators on, so that when someone rings 999 or 112, they have got the code and they'll give them the instructions on how to use it. So that's good. The Parish Council's objection to the proposed traffic regulation order on Seaview Lane was met with strong support from Councillor Phil Jordan at the Isle of Wight Council, and he's questioning the legality of all such TROs forming part of planning applications, and he's requested a suspension on all TROs related to planning applications on the island. So an example of democracy in action, where your well-considered objection to that has really brought about some interesting developments. With the neighbourhood plan, the planning department at the Isle of Wight Council have been informed of the parish council's intention to proceed with one. Ollie Bolter, who is the head of that department at the moment, will host an initial meeting on the 1st of December with myself and Trish, Barry and Dave Adams, if you can make it. Just to clarify the way ahead, what needs to be done to kick it off officially, and it's then anticipated that James Brewer, who, if any of you came to the draft island plan consultation, he was the planning officer there, he will then act as the liaison for the life cycle of the planned production, because the Isle of Wight Council have to support it. And finally, Roy, you're like the bench out there. After the last meeting, I contacted Island Roads and the Isle of Wight Council. It turns out the Isle of Wight Council themselves took that one away. They actually still manage some benches, and they've ordered a new one, and they're going to fit a new one there. So,
well, can I on a broken concrete slab?
You don't want it. You want to cancel it?
No.
Oh, no.
I'd like to replace it into a different position, because it's in a bad position there. If I put it there, it's also going to be in place of where the planning application is in for
exactly.
Sea View,
yeah.
for the football club.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't go back there.
And that's
so
broken anyway.
So that needs to be moved, if we can.
Yeah.
Get it broke up and moved. Yeah. And then
the planning permission actually takes the, if you like, the extension of the stand, let's just call it that, up as far as the lamppost for the football ground.
Yeah. Well,
so you can get in that gap, and the slab's just in the wrong place.
25 foot away from the stand.
That's right.
So I would rather it...
Roy, I'll let the lady, her name's Gina, I'll let her know that
right,
it's
I'd
a
like
poor place for it.
I'd like to liaise with her and tell her if it's possible to replace it, lining up with these benches on the other side, so as it looks, yeah. so it's in the right position.
Right, I'll make sure she speaks to you, because
as
a chair, yeah,
I want to get it at the same level so people are not tripping up or whatever. Then.
Yeah, yeah. No problem.
Thank you.
That'll be easy, no, don't worry. That's good. Right, that's the end of my report for this month.
Okay. Trish.
Yes, planning.
We're going to, sorry to interrupt you, there's some people that are going to want to talk to you and I. Planning.
Yeah,
I know Roseanne's not in planning.
Oh no,
no.
Well, are we going to deal with the roadside as not item A, all of it?
Or
do you want to raise the issue about how they've handled it?
Well, I thought as you've got,
Do you want to do the roadside as a separate thing now?
Should we do that?
Yeah, we can, you can just bring it forward.
Let's do that.
That way, some people might be able to get back in time for something.
So will
we. Yeah.
Sorry, didn't mean to be flippant, but it is very important.
Yeah.
Yeah, so people want to speak.
Yeah.
Are you Debbie?
Yes, I am.
Hello, Debbie. Nice to meet you.
Hi.
I've seen the emails and things flying around.
So,
would you like to have a say?
I'm in the process of buying Upton View, which is next to the roadside inn.
Yeah.
And over the last few months, I know that there's been a proposed development of a co-op on that site quite a long time. It's been, I think, it's declined a couple of times. And the current owner, the Bendel, she wrote to the planning officer, inviting him to come over and have a look at the property, because I don't think anyone realises the impact it's going to have on that property. And it is really making me quite nervous about pursuing this purchase. But the single story extension will go right along my fence line. They want to put the air conditioning refrigeration on the roof. And the worst to me is the thing that this over this walkway, which will look straight into my garden, into my house. There'll have to be lighting if that's the entrance into the top flat.
They'll
come straight into my house. The vendor wrote to the planning, I think it's Richard Holmes, the planning officer, she never got a reply, said, please, I'd like you to come. She lives on the mainland. And she said, you just give me a few date options of dates so I can be there, and you can come and you can have a look. Because they're going to have to excavate about 2 to 2.5 metres.
For the foundations.
And, you know, what's the impact going to be on the stability of the ground, on drainage? And nothing's been, it's all done on assumptions. Nothing's been actually tested. No one's actually physically gone to have a look. And it just seems like it's all been very underhand.
Yeah. What's the story with the parking spaces? So I was talking to you today, weren't I, about it? I'm not quite sure.
Well, the parking spaces are, they don't belong to the property, but they are in the deed. They were
the property you're talking about buying?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So when you look at the roadside view car park from the road, right up at the top on the right-hand side, there are two parking spaces. They're on all the paperwork I've got from the solicitors. They can't, as I understand it, they can't make me accept those parking spaces to be moved. I would have to consent to that.
Yeah.
Which I suppose gives
a little bit of strength.
I have to say that I do think something has to happen with that building rather than it just going into complete disrepair, and it's better that it is maintained. I certainly, I'd rather have a shop than a pub, I think, there, because if I'm living there. But I mean, I think it's a shame something like this couldn't happen there. Mm. But I just don't know. As far as I understand, you can't reverse a planning commission without a judicial appeal. And that costs money, so I don't know. You know, I haven't got the money to contest that.
Well, there's a letter that Trish, our chair of planning, and Dave Adams have put together.
I saw that,
and it's quite good, isn't it?
Yeah, very good.
I think that's going to go to the council first, isn't it?
Well, my intention was that everybody's happy, people are happy with it. And I did make an effort to actually, David was involved as well, to actually write down everything we were concerned about rather than just bringing it up tonight. But the way, the first thing that I think is really appalling is the fact that it was done as a delegated decision, so the officers did it rather than the going to a committee. Now, it is possible for the ward councillor to request what they call a call-in to go to committee. I think this particular one, I think Dave feels quite bad that he didn't actually do that, but there was no guarantee that he would have been allowed to call it in anyway, because, you know, some things they say no, they have very strict criteria, one of which is material consideration. And I notice in the officer's report, they say the fact that it is a community asset is a material consideration. Now, nobody actually told him that. Brand new councillor, it was, you know, only within about a month of him being elected. And I think it was, I think if they were going to go down the route that they did go down, bearing in mind it was such a contentious one and there were so many objections and things raised and the parish council were upset about it, the least they could have done is given him sight of their officer report and said, what do you think? So that he could have addressed some of the problems that were actually raised, like the fact that there was an assumption it's a shop, which it never actually has been. I don't know how many of you are aware of the shenanigans to actually get it changed.
Did they actually read any of the objections?
Well,
there's quite a substantial number of the objections mention the fact that it's never been a shop.
Mm. They
have no reason to make that assumption because they've been told by people who live in the community that it's never been open as a shop. Yeah. Yeah. It has a sign outside and that's as close as it's ever been.
It's never traded as a shop. No. It probably has got no background for it either.
It was given... basically, to go back to how it happened, I believe, the Localism Act, actually, they were concerned, the government at the time, were concerned about the loss of village pubs, that they were all being closed down, asset strip, which is what happened with this one, and turned into residential. But unfortunately, they set a deadline for when you could do it. And what they actually did was over the Easter period, just immediately, I think it was something like the 10th of April was the deadline, and over the Easter period, at the end of March, they actually opened it up. People say there were things like a few tea towels and a toilet seat and whatever.
I've definitely heard about the toilet seat.
Couldn't get in. Mark Bernard Davis, who isn't here tonight, but he said he and his wife, he and Biddy, tried to get in, and they couldn't. Other people tried. They had just one of those sort of little receipt book things, which they actually took some, made notification of sales. And I think they took definitely less than £50 over a period of about 5 or 6 days, but they weren't open half all the time anyway. And so when it went to appeal, the Isle of Wight Council weren't having it and turned it down, but when it went to appeal, the inspector said, on a technicality, there is evidence that there was some retail sales, so therefore they turned it into retail. And that was the end of it. That was years ago, and nothing has ever been done since. Mm. And the Isle of Wight Council were very much aware, when they tried to turn it into flats, the Isle of Wight Planning Committee said, this has never been a shop. We all know that, and we're not going to go with this. It's a community asset. And what we'd always hoped is, as Debbie said, that we could turn it into a community facility, something where perhaps you could have a little coffee, you know, people could go and have coffee, people may be able to go and have drinks occasionally, not as a pub.
You could have art classes, you could have yoga.
We could base the Parish Council up there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even Parish Office.
Yeah, Parish Office.
Yeah, there were so many things, but they just didn't want to, and they decided to go down this route, which I think is they're trying to do something so horrendous that people don't want it, so that if people come back and say, oh, we'll turn it into residential, then, you know, they'll say, oh, that'll be better. But it's really, there are so many things that they didn't get right. One of the things I question, and I may be wrong on it, is the fact that they say that the community asset has been diminished on the grounds that it's no longer a pub, which it was when it was first nominated. But we actually renominated it a couple of years ago, or less than 2 years ago, because it wasn't a pub then.
It was 18 months ago.
Yeah.
5 years, that was not a shop then either.
No. But the community asked for it to be extended, and they said it could be. They say that it doesn't matter because it's not disposable land, but actually they're not going to have put a co-op in there without a lease, and a lease is a disposal, or a partial at least, disposal of land, and one wonders whether we should have been, as a community, offered the chance to have a lease on it. They say that there's very little impact on neighbouring properties. Well, as Debbie's just said, that's actually not true, and the highway issues are a major impact. Mm. And then we've got the problem about the car parking as well, which hasn't been taken in. They're saying, the officers say it's a civil matter. They're aware of it, but they say it's a civil matter. Well, I disagree with them on that, because it's actually part of a planning condition. When Upton View was actually separated from the pub so that the pub could survive, apparently, because the profits from selling off the residential house was going to keep the pub going, and there was insurance by the owners that they wouldn't close it, and then they promptly did. But it was a planning condition that those spaces were there. So I don't actually think it is a civil matter, I think it's a planning matter.
Mm. And that, what recourse is there to the planning department? Because Debbie's tried to talk to them, and they want.
They only talked to the applicants. I phoned them up because I wanted to talk to the planning officer, and they said no, only the person who's applied for the planning permission can talk to them. So it's just, I just think the whole thing is really dodgy. I think it's a fob off, you know, and you look at all the comments, and they were, apart from one, they were all objections. Mm. And nobody's addressed this. Just a little grey men in the grey office who's just making decisions about something that isn't going to impact them at all. But the whole community of Leopardstown doesn't want that.
No.
You know.
Or need it.
I think it's going to cause a lot of problems. Hang on, Philip. Down the road, because if we get these double yellow lines going down Old CU Lane, have you seen where they've got? Is BT, isn't it? They're doing some stuff.
I think it's
White Pine. Yeah, one of them. Yeah, and of course, all the cars that would normally park down there, they're parked up along the main drag through Nettleston, those sides of the road.
And that is the other issue, of course, that when we actually made our comments, and when any of you made comments, we haven't seen that revised parking plan with the build out and the chevrons and various things. And I think that was devious, but that wasn't posted until after the deadline for comments.
There's still no documents on the plan.
And there's
there's nothing on the planning application to actually say what they're going to do to the road.
I put in my objection that it was going to have a serious effect on parking,
roadside
parking, which is sorely needed.
Yeah.
And just by putting the pedestrian crossing we were talking about putting in.
There's no detail on that.
So if you add all those spaces along Old Seaview Lane and put them on the main drag, then you build some build out and you lose the spaces in front of Vic's. I mean, it's going to be a nightmare along there. Sorry, Philip, you wanted to say something.
Just thinking about the parking. I mean, I would have David measuring up where they want to widen the pavement on the opposite side of the road to the shop.
We tried to work off.
I don't know how accurate their plan is, but the chicane they want to build out actually goes over people's driveways. But I mean, the point I want to make here is Debbie got fobbed off, okay? I mean, she's probably own the house now, probably they would come and talk to her, but they have to listen to the parish.
Mm.
And there is no doubt that there's so much wrong with this. You can drive a coach and horses through their decision. Whether it can be brought back and looked at by elected members of the planning committee, I don't know. But I will bring back this into the council, the fact that Gibwell Field, when they made the decision, the community raised quite a considerable amount of money, and two letters with it, and the first one actually brought the whole thing back to another planning committee.
Mm.
It all fell on deaf ears, and that hasn't finished yet. But if they won't listen to the points made by the parish, I would suggest to try and bring it back a letter by a planning lawyer may well suffice.
So at this moment in time, what we have got is a very detailed and well laid out argument from Councillor Redpath and Barry here in the form of a letter, which we can send into the planning department and anyone else you like as well.
Mm.
So we do have that.
The other thing that I think is important, and the reason that when I was drafting the letter I went on, and that was the item I actually got on the agenda originally about the TROs, because Dave Adams has actually mentioned it to Phil Jordan, and of course it actually fits again into the category of using a planning condition to actually deal with highway matter. And so hopefully I think it's very important that we do actually write to Phil Jordan again, say they've done it again, and that part of that we actually highlight the fact that this needs to be stalled as well for that reason.
So we've got this letter, and we're going to at least send it to Councillor Jordan, send it to Ollie Bolter as a head of the Department of Planning, send it to copy the planning officer on who did it as well. Chair of Planning?
Yeah.
That's Michael, isn't it? Like, Philly at the moment.
And what about my work?
I don't know. If you were doing something, they might be able to back you up later, but at the moment, they'll probably share everybody's frustration, but I don't know if they've got any pressure on.
But I think one of the problems is, going back to what Philip said about the Gibwell Field, that was actually, we did actually get it back to committee, but unfortunately, and this is another thing that I think is wrong, they actually made a decision on the Thursday, and they issued the decision notice on the Friday. Now, if you have, according to their constitution, the Isle of Wight Council constitution, if the planning committee, I didn't know this until they did the Westridge thing, if the planning committee make a decision, there's what they call a 5-day cooling off period, so it can be looked at by the officer to check whether they've done the right thing or not. Now, that letter, that decision notice was issued immediately with no calling off period. They don't seem to have that as part of their criteria. Dave, as ward councillor, was actually not officially realised, because there was a hoo-ha going on next door and Charles contacted him, but he wasn't actually officially notified by the planners until the following Monday, after the decision notice had been released. So there was no opportunity to investigate. The decision has been made, yes, but I think we have to write these letters urgently, and hopefully, I mean, I have had experience in the past, I mean, Philip would back me up, about a decision that was actually made elsewhere, not here, which was actually an unworkable decision, and that was pointed out to them, and the decision was never enforced. They never did it. So there is always that, but you know, we can make it as difficult if Debbie and the vendor won't move their car parking spaces, Phil Jordan stops the condition, etc., etc. Maybe we can stop it.
The other thing I'd say is, if you all resolve tonight that you are going to send these letters to the people we describe, and you'll obviously have your vote for that in a moment, if this doesn't get the response you want by next meeting or whatever, before that, we do have money put by to engage professional advice on services to actually perhaps take it a step further. Yeah. And that will be down to, there is money available in the budget.
All the debt off there that we usually get. If there's a reason, we can get someone to tell us there's a reason that it's wrong. Because we've all got to know, haven't we? We've got to have someone tell us that they're still not applying with what they should be. And I think it might be.
And so just let you know, so if you were to go with this and you didn't get the desired result, then there is still an avenue open to you, but obviously it has to be within the amount of money that we've got available. And a sort of hope.
Well, I mean, I think the letter that we got when we went for Goodwill Field, the original letter, I think it was about 1,500 quid, which is a lot of money, but he was quite good, the guy.
And that's definitely within the budget. If something like that, you all deemed in the future after you sent this it was worthwhile, you could definitely do it.
Well, the main factor here is we don't need it. That's the thing, we don't need it. Why should we have to have something that we don't need? There's no request for it.
And another thing which I didn't put in the letter, but it's just a comment as well, and it occurred to me recently. I mean, we had a big discussion at the last parish council meeting about the parish plan and what weight was put to our parish plans and whatever. And if you go back to the 2007 parish plan, which is actually adopted by the Isle of Wight Council, is what they call a supplementary planning document that should guide planning applications. And I tried to have a look and see what happened, and back then there was concern about the loss of shops and people didn't want to lose any more shops. Well, okay, so we still had a post office actually at the time in Eccleston. And okay, so you could say if we lose Vic, we've got the co-op instead, so it's like for like. But we've got no guarantee. It actually points out that Tesco's has taken most of the business away from the local shops, and that actually the corner shop is used for topping up, which is what it does, what I do. You know, we go there to get smaller. We don't do our weekly shop there. And how strong is the viability of a co-op there?
We will probably have to shut in reality. Co-op won't make enough money in there, so they will go.
And you would have thought that the officers would have been, part of their process would have been to actually look at that SPD for Eccleston. But they didn't.
At the moment we have a shop and a community asset. If they turn the community asset into another shop and Vic's ends up closing, then we're just left with a shop. And when they find that they can't make any money and they shut that down, we don't have a shop or a community asset.
Exactly.
The opening of the community shop in CV impacted Charles a bit
quite badly, which is quite sad because it really helped them to set it up and do the
job. Yes, I know you did. Yeah.
So that was if a co-op opens in Nettleton, both of them are going to be severely impacted.
Yeah.
Even though I do believe that in the beginning people will kind of boycott a co-op, I think, you know, because everyone.
Yeah, but the people that are using it as a through route won't, will they? I mean, we may, but yeah. I mean, Edgerton Road's a through route, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can I also say something about the letter as well? I don't know if it's like help in any way, but we live in number one grade, so off the side of the fence that's not there currently.
Are you right where the trees were?
Yeah.
The roadside
in, so we're on the opposite side of the property that you're on, the other side of the car park.
I've had a lot of contact. Where they just chopped the trees down? Yeah. I've had a lot of contact with with the head on show, lots of country down, and he's cut one down a few years back and got fined for it. So he's asked to cut the rest of the trees down. And we said no, leave them alone. Because in the planning, on the last lot of planning that went, I can't remember which one it was, what everyone seemed to oppose to, there's something about the gradient being lowered on the car park. My understanding is quite a long way down, they've got to lower it. That's why they want the trees down. Because all my roots are going through onto the car park.
I thought, I made cut those trees then, I thought they were going to, you're going to drive in the glade, drive into the car park and be able to drive out. Do you know what, I thought that's what they were going to try to put a do you know
that's
what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what I thought, that's what they were
going to do. Barry's just here to make you feel better, Sarah, don't worry.
Sorry about that. But I really thought that's what they were going to do.
Yeah.
That worries me for the future massively.
Yeah.
Ben's just saying about the trees.
Yeah.
We didn't want the trees cut down at all. The ones that they have cut down, we had no choice.
Were they their trees then?
They're their trees, they're not ours. So we had no choice. But you can very clearly see, and Tricia, you came around to have a look, didn't you, with Dave, and you can see that the remaining trees are definitely on our side, so they can't touch them.
Yeah.
We thought, maybe we've got something here, because like Ben was just saying, in the application, it's looking like they have to dig down 3 or 4 foot.
To get level with the road.
I think it's further
than that. It's quite a difference in height. Yeah. Now, we thought that they came to my door, and when I was on my own, Ben was still at work, and said, oh, sorry, lovely, trees need to come down. Basically telling me my trees need to come down because they're dangerous and that they've had somebody around to look at them and had a report done on them and that they're dangerous and they need to come down. And somebody in the village has complained about the trees. So that I think that's a fib. And I said, well, show me the report. Anyway, I didn't get a report, I just got an email saying, you could do with chopping down those trees and planting something a little less
tree-ish.
Tree-ish. We said no.
They state that they're dangerous because when you plant a tree like that, you've got to have two. One to stop the wind from knocking that way.
They are pretty tall, we would admit, and we are looking at getting them lopped.
Yeah.
We wouldn't want them cut down.
What are they?
They're cypress.
But with regards to the gradient being lowered, on the initial planning, there was a query, and I can't remember, I think it was the guy you mentioned, Debbie, the one who's in charge of the planning.
No,
And he said something in the planning regarding what Questmap had come in with, that it wasn't suitable. And it's got to come down further or something. And there's nothing come out since it's been agreed of what the suitability is meant to be.
Yeah.
And where that's come from, who's put that in.
Mm.
And by them cutting down, going back to the other trees that they've cut down, they've actually weakened our remaining trees because we now know protection from the other ones. So we lost a section of one of those trees, didn't we, in February this year. I'm worried now because I'm thinking they're getting weakened and weakened, and we get a lot of windy weather here, don't we?
Yeah.
But I don't want to cut the trees down because I am my worst nightmare, what you said.
Yeah.
I'm terrified they might somehow put a drive through because obviously there's trees in front of our house as well, so the trees inside that we're talking about, and there's trees in the front
on that grass bank
go over the pavement, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, it would massively impact ours as well, wouldn't it? Like with you, Debbie, talking about what you were saying, it would hugely impact ours. The floodlights, we know that there will be flood lighting in the car park at the back, that would go straight into our garden, straight onto the back of our house, through the bedroom windows. We opposed all of that on the, what we chose to. Said to me that Regan had sold those parking spaces to them.
That's such a lie.
So that was a complete barefaced lie. And they've said lots of things. They've also said things that I said that I haven't said, like I wanted the trees down and things like that. So we know how dishonest they are, don't we?
So where's all the new evidence that will pass it into the Green of Planning?
Yeah.
Where's the new evidence?
Massive areas where we're just it's not right. It needs looking into, doesn't it? It's not clear, and there's bits of the myth that we're not being.
I can't see why they can't reverse the planning decision on the basis that the applicant has told them barefaced lies.
Yeah.
That sounds, honestly, I know it sounds really dagger to me, but it sounds to me like someone's getting their palm greased with all this. I honestly think there's money changing hands here, because from everything that I've read and heard,
it's dodgy,
an honest.
Did you speak to Richard? No, I haven't.
We deal
with
Questmap.
What did Questmap say when you put those points to it? Sarah was saying that that you want the trees down, and obviously you don't.
When they started coming round, I ended up speaking to them, didn't I? I spoke to them a few times now, but they've got a matey who works there.
Tony.
And basically, he's just a yes man.
Yeah. He's
the waiter's man.
Knocking on the door, telling us.
Yeah, so he'll feed you what they want him to say.
He's the mouthpiece.
But he's actually was useless, truth be told, absolutely useless. But when
I think he's scared when he knocks on our door.
It's his job as well, isn't it?
Okay.
I did have words with him once, but
you asked about sort of how they've responded, and Mark has actually been very rude to me, quite condescending, patronising. And he moves the goalposts all the time. So initially, when there was a first discussion about those trees that aren't ours, that had to come down, so he had no choice, I was gutted, because it was a privacy for us, huge privacy.
Of course.
Yeah, look at it, you drive through the building. One, you can see the window that I haven't yet painted, so I can't reach it, and now I'm not hidden by the trees anymore. But no, serious note though, it looks awful, doesn't it? They've left it in the state. They said, when I knew I had no choice in the matter, I had no choice, they had to come down. I said, well, please, leave it looking decent, you know, replace us with a fence.
It's not our fence.
They agreed to all of this stupidly. We were very inexperienced with this kind of thing until now, when we were just sort of getting involved in it, really.
Well, nobody's ever experienced it being conned, are they?
We were also having a bill done on the back of our house, so we were dealing with that, which was quite a big challenge for us, and there were stresses that went with that, and at one point I just didn't have anything left in me to fight and argue with Questmap with Mark on the phone, because I was trying to deal project manager away and work from home, teacher of home and home teach. It was just a nightmare. Anyway, he basically went back on his promises, denied ever making these promises. Silly that we didn't get anything in writing, I know that now. So when I then questioned, hang on a minute, where's my fence? Just fobbed me off, said they couldn't get diggers because of COVID, even though my bills were getting diggers every day doing our building work. And it just went on, and then it went very quiet. I gave up the battle because of the building work. And then they came back knocking very recently to say, oh, you need to chop your other trees down. As if I'm just going to go, right, yeah, I'll do that.
I contacted them and just said, we don't want to talk to you anymore.
They sent
me an email back saying, oh, we don't want to call out, blah, blah, blah. I just said, they failed. They wanted to know really why. And I just sent one back saying, you're full of liars, rude. Don't contact us again.
Would anybody else like to say anything before we move on? No? Okay.
Who actually owns that?
Questmap.
They're leasing it to, well, they're trying to lease it to the couple.
Right. And they're the ones that come up on the door.
And they're not very, really, yeah.
Perhaps we need to have a vote on this.
Yeah, I know we do. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Perhaps we should be talking to the co-op's financial people, because basically they're shutting co-ops down
Yes.
You know, they've shut one down for Ryde.
It's going to go to the co-op as well.
I think Dave has actually been trying.
I mean, their financial director must be thinking, why are we buying this?
They're obviously not.
Is he aware? Is he aware of what he's buying? I think we've got to make their financial people more aware of that buying something that's not worthy.
Yeah.
And it's not right for the co-op people, because the co-op is owned by everybody.
But you're right, and I mean, all this work that they want to do on the highway, which I think goes back to what that gentleman just was saying, is that, again, it was you, wasn't it, that said it, because actually the only thing I've seen online is Island Roads, who are dealing with the highways, have actually not said yes.
They agreed, didn't
they? They said we want more information.
Worried about...
So we thought we'd have them over a barrel with our trees, didn't we? They weren't going to do this then, if we say
so yes. The decision by the officers is wrong. Have you got thoughts on it, Stuart? Because you confessed to your past life.
Once. That's what I should have done.
Yeah. I told you.
I mean, it's obviously very sad to hear you speak of your experiences. And I read your lecture earlier. To me, it goes right back to us as a community wanting to preserve Vicks. He's, you know, Charles and Linda have worked in the community for so many years. At the end of the day, I think should do all we can to keep Vicks going, if we're allowed to support a commercial organisation, I don't know. But I'd say that they're actually a community asset. Whether the co-op really intend to open up, we consider all their, should we say, backhanded attitude to the whole development. I just think the whole thing is really sad. It's dragged on and on. We haven't had a pub in the village for about an hour.
I wonder if the co-op are actually aware of it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You need to speak to the financial.
But Roy, just to remind you, when this all came out earlier in the year, we actually wrote to the CEO of Co-op and he acknowledged that, and he said that the commercial team are dealing with it. So we did actually write to tell them how.
Again, then.
Well, we're going to actually send a copy of this letter to them.
Okay. Who would actually? I mean, this work on the road that's supposedly essential for it. Who would actually have to pay for that?
As I understand the Questmark.
Questmark would.
Yeah. Island Roads don't have the money. They do what they're told by Wildlife Council. Wildlife Council doesn't have the money. If the developer needs to do certain works to make it their development happen, it's down to them.
Yeah, but we'll be down to them, Chris, because if you want to drop curb, you've got to pay for it yourself.
It's
not
true, they've obviously bought the site thinking, ultimately, it's going to be a viable commercial enterprise,
but it isn't.
Is it or isn't it?
It isn't going to be.
Does anybody else want to say anything before we propose that we send this off? Okay.
Right. I'm just wondering about the council not actually asking us if we can put a bid in for the community asset of the roadside. I mean, surely we could. Is that something that we could look at to see if they were definitely supposed to do that? Because you should do, because if it went up for sale, we should have first bid on that. I know, because
that's part of the bid, actually.
That's part of it. I
agree with you, Dave.
I don't know for certain, and that's the problem.
But
the letter does ask that question. The letter's got that in there. I've got a very detailed letter in front of me, and that's why I
don't give us the right answer.
Fine.
Yeah,
you can put that
one
on our website. It'll be in the minutes as well.
Has anybody seen this letter?
What, down
here? Have you all seen this letter?
No. It's literally, we've had it a day.
I think I sent it to Debbie, and I sent it to Vic.
All right, so Brian's going to...
You should have it as well, because then you know what we're trying to find here.
Well, Brian's going to put it on our website, so you'll be able to access it there.
Yeah.
Okay, well, can we...
you can have my copy.
Somebody would like to propose that we're going to send this letter. Dave, somebody second it?
Oh, sorry.
And all those in favour?
Carried. There we go.
Okay.
That's easy then.
Right. Okay, we resolved to send that letter.
There we go. Marvellous.
You're welcome. And I'm sorry you've been... Well, what an awful mess were you in. Horrible. Both of you.
Yes.
And all of us, actually.
All of us, yeah.
All of us, yeah.
Yeah,
because
it's spoiling our...
It's the village, isn't it?
It's the whole sort of atmosphere.
On that road, isn't it?
The whole atmosphere, the village. For no reason at all.
And what's so frightening is, like, I just heard them say, you know, with all the roadworks and stuff, and it's dangerous, that road. Anyway, God forbid, it's something to get...
Well, across the road to get there, haven't you?
And twice a, you know, twice a day, we've got to send our kids to school,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Right, I'm afraid we're gonna move on now with the rest of the agenda.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's back to six.
Thank you.
Yeah. So,
thank you.
Yeah. Stay if you want. Just, by all means. Chris.
Okay. Right.
You
again. Yeah. Oh. So we have
Jace Call.
Thanks,
guys.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'll see you. Cheers.
Yeah,
so we start off with our delegated decisions. I would like to check what we said when we do it. The first one is Jace Court, Esplanade Seaview, proposed extension at first floor level. We supported it with conditions
on the tree, wasn't it?
On the tree, yeah. and it was granted.
Yeah.
So,
they obviously felt they could do that. It's good. Yeah.
Well, they have tied the tree up and made it safe,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
Then there was land at Seagrove Farm Road, 8 dwellings, which of course we objected to, and that was refused because of the road network, which is what we picked up from Island Road. We obviously haven't heard about the Donkey Field yet, but I can't see how they can accept the Donkey Field if they refuse this one.
There is a rumour, and I can't confirm it. Two people have told me independently that Eton have withdrawn.
It's not written on the website yet.
It's not written anywhere. Yeah. But that's all I can tell you.
Then we've got the roadside. I think we've talked about that.
Yes.
Yeah. 74 Fluitt Avenue, removal of a condition which we supported, that was granted. And also agricultural storage barn at Westbrook Farm, which we agreed with. Horston Rye, proposed one-bedroom residential dwelling house. We objected on the grounds of overdevelopment, out of keeping to the area, and inadequate vehicle access, and Isle of Wight Council refused it. So they do make some reasonable decisions. Stables in Park Lane, Nettlestone, proposed equipment and feeling, we thought that was okay and that was granted. Oak Hill Cottage, Oak Hill Road, proposed single story extension with terrace over. We thought it was okay and that was granted. And then there was the three dwellings, the terrace of three dwellings at Tethers End in Seafield Road, which we objected to. Inadequate parking, exacerbating existing problems out of keeping and overlooking of neighbour, and they refused it.
Good.
I didn't expect them to go with us on that, but they did.
Good.
So I'm pleased about that.
Well, since that's been refused, there's been a lot of work done on the Catholic Church.
Yeah, I've noticed that today.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff's been in and out. But
that'll be the next
one. I don't
one.
Think that's. Well.
We changed the day some time ago, didn't we?
Yeah. Mm. Well, it would have been a great asset for a youth centre or a care home or something, but still. Yeah.
Environmental Health have contacted no Roy because they had a rat's nest in there.
You never put it out, did you?
Yeah. No, one of the neighbours contacted me about it and said, oh, Environmental Health have to do something about that immediately.
No, since it's cleared, someone else been and broke the windows in there. So.
What happened to the boat store in Seagrove Bay?
Right, so the new applications for consideration. The first one is Pier House. Demolition of store, proposed two-storey rear extension, ensuite bathroom, terracing. I don't know what to suggest on this one, I don't know what anybody else thinks. It's a huge development. I mean, if it wasn't on such a big site and an extension to such a big house, it would be equivalent of a new house, I would have thought, almost. There's no neighbour comments on it. There's been a lot of comments by various people about development down Pier Road, talking about land stability and everything. And I know Pier House has been part of bolstering things up.
Mm, they're holding the hill up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what other people think about this one.
I mean, I the guy's called Simon Gray. I haven't met him personally yet, but I think we owe him a bit of gratitude in a way that he spent £5 million on reinforcements. You know, what do you call it, underground stuff?
He's saying all that money to retain,
and he's kept that house there for us.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't knocked a day and we'll put 20 houses in there. Exactly. And he's building two, one's a garage and one's like a garden chalet. Mm. But it's all out of wood from his estate on the mainland.
It's really nice.
It is absolutely lovely. Yeah. And I bet you that he wouldn't build anything that he's going to be in keeping. Yeah. And on that basis, I'm quite happy to support that.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. Done. But I think we should be grateful to him for keeping that house.
Yeah,
there was 5 minutes. I was talking to the site supervisor there, who was putting those foundations.
Underpinning.
I think they included. You remember when they put the application? I think all that information was. Yeah. It was like a financial report, wasn't there?
Yeah.
And how about 5 million? It's not just for him. It's supporting the whole road.
Oh yeah.
Exactly. But if you walk along there and look to the right and stand back and look into the ancient wood. You can see why they've had to put that there, because the whole wood is gone.
Yeah. It's a slump. Again, I remember years ago, this council was concerned about some of those trees being taken down.
Yeah.
But now we can see why.
Yeah. That's right. Because those big trees were pulling the hill down.
We should be grateful. You could have just knocked it down or asked to knock it down.
Yeah.
It's, I think, a very attractive old
it's lovely.
Building.
Yeah.
I don't think we've got any building like that anymore.
No.
And the amount of work they've done is incredible.
Yeah.
And
could you've done two other things.
It's a big property, a relatively big extension, but I think
it can take it.
Yeah.
I think it can take it. And if you go in through what would have been the servants' gate, you know, the east end, those little buildings, they're so bitty, aren't they? It's everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, and I think if it tidies it up, that's great. But anyway, that's why I say I would support it.
I agree with you. I think we do owe him a favour. Well, not a favour, I think we all, the community does. Because basically, it was coming away, you know that. I mean, he didn't spend that money. He didn't spend that money because he wanted to. He spent that money because he had to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a question of whether the extension is okay. And if you're, I haven't got any views either way.
And you're right. I've checked. There's still no public comments, even now.
I don't think.
It's rather a fine old Edward in the house. I think. Edward, I agree with the others. What he's doing, because I think is actually good.
Yeah.
And, what is the sum?
I think it's meant to be snug.
Yeah.
I think it's
That's the thing.
Well. It does, because that's the thing. I take the wording straight from the Isle of Wight Council and they give it to me.
And somebody sings while they're having a bath.
It's not a typo, so it didn't show up on my word processor, so it's quite funny.
Yeah.
If it's a typo,
I thought maybe it was some sort of special phrase.
An extension of sung.
Okay, so.
So, are you proposing to go with that?
Yeah, I propose. Somebody second it? In favour?
Yeah.
So, I'm in favour. Support, okay.
The second one, they're not too bad, these ones. Second one is Elgin House, Ride Row, Ride Road. No neighbour comments on that, and I can't see that it's going to affect anybody, actually. There are some roof lights, but I think the people that they're overlooking have also got roof lights in them anyway, looking back at them, so... I can't see it's going to be.
I went to the website this morning to look, and it's had been withdrawn. I don't see any plans at all.
Oh.
How exciting.
I would propose we say we have no problem with this, and if it's been withdrawn, then.
We have a look at the
problem. Yes. It seems very
good. I suppose you can access the plans.
No. That's interesting. As I say, there are various people who've got, some have got dormers in their roofs down there anyway, and the people that they would be overlooking have already got those windows in. So should we say?
I've still got the site plan. Further information.
Well, should we just go ahead and say that we haven't got a problem?
Yeah.
Yeah, so and if it's been withdrawn, it's been withdrawn. So you're going to have
a proposal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll propose that.
I'll second it.
So support.
This one as well, which is in Springbell Road. Nobody's complained about that. Somebody supported it, but they don't live anywhere near them. It doesn't look as if it'll be a
problem.
The thing about that,
Paddy,
the thing about that, so it's in the flood area, and I think what they're doing is getting getting the building out of the flood area.
They're going to put it on stilts.
Well, that's they're going to build it up.
That's a future.
That's the theory.
Everything will be on stilts.
Yeah. Yeah. Different times of the year.
The moulding, for example.
And no, it won't affect anybody. Actually, I don't think. I'm quite happy about that.
Yeah.
Should we propose that one? I'll propose that.
I'll second it.
Are you having a vote? Sorry. Oh, you're all in support. Yeah. Thank you.
Pondwell Hill. I wondered about this one, but I don't think this is going to affect anybody either. My first thought was that corner there. There's so much.
Is that where the old-fashioned lamppost is? Yeah.
No.
Well, just when
you come up from Ride and you go round to right and left down the hill. That's the measure on the left hand side.
Yeah. Oh, the first one. Oh, I know.
It's not the first one though. It's
the second one.
It's the second
Safe
one.
View.
There's a mess, isn't there, on the corner? And I thought, but actually, this house isn't a mess, and it's got plenty of room and. Yes. There's a detached house with quite a big garden next to it, so I don't think it'll be a problem.
Interestingly, slightly off piste, talking to Martin White, or. The Sunday thing. He had three relatives killed in the First World War, right from here, and one of them used to live in Saxview. That's the only.
Wow. There you go.
There you go.
My only comment would be that, and I'm sure they will. But do you think we ought to ask that there's a condition that any construction work is any vehicles are taken into the site, because it would
not be done off the, that's a bad place, isn't it?
Yeah, you're
quite right.
Yes.
That is a very good point.
So a condition that construction vehicles are kept on site rather than on the public highway.
Yeah.
I don't know if they can do that.
Well, you've seen what the road works and the traffic lights have done there.
I mean,
the
delivery vehicles, I mean, I guess they're just crying it in, weren't they? And would have to put up with that.
Well, what
they
have
to put road mitigation in place, aren't they?
I could say, position that construction vehicles are kept off the public. I'd not tell them where to put them, but just keep them off the public.
Yeah, that's it.
So you'll support, but with the condition that construction vehicles are kept off the public highway. Are you going to have a proposer and a voter and all those sorts of things,
Dave? I'll propose
it.
Dave,
in favour?
And the last one, now this is a strange one, isn't it? The removal of the washhouse and similarly buildings on Gully Road. My view is that from an aesthetic point of view, the removal of it is desirable, no problem. However, I'm just slightly concerned, where they go on at length about the fact that they've had they've been turned down for development and they're not going to develop.
Why are they clearing this?
And why is it a property developer that's willing to meet three people?
It's a pretty small area. I walked down there this morning.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of room there.
Sounds like a duck to me. As in walking and talking. Oh, look. It is a duck.
It's interesting. I'm beginning to sort of get a message from what happens with people who put in applications. Is that if something has gone through the Isle of Wight Council and the Isle of Wight Council has said something like with the roadside in, the community asset has diminished, then future applications come in saying, "Oh, the Isle of Wight Council was already dead."
Yeah.
This is what they're saying. If it's down to me, I would say that the removal of the building we have got no problem with. But again, we would stress that it is that a condition is actually put on the planning that they do not build on that site.
Well, we could say the condition is that you support it on that, as long as it's not a precursor to future development.
Yeah.
On the face of it, it's nothing.
But
we ain't stupid, are we?
And that being important.
No. But you can still go on record saying.
No, but what it will do. We've been seen through.
Surely, if the Isle of Wight Council put a condition on it, I know it's been through all the planning applications before, but if there's a planning condition on it, then
they wouldn't be able to. That would be
and like I said, you know, for just for future peace of mind, if they do grant this and they don't take your condition into consideration, it's officially an objection.
Yeah.
So we've rejected because actually you did not want it to be used as a first stage of actually developing something.
Okay.
So condition, you support it on the condition that it's not a precursor to future development.
Do we know if this developer is the same developer who got turned down years ago?
No, we didn't have to take that one.
Well,
but don't you think it's curious that the three people and they've got a property developer working with them?
It is a funny old site.
It's probably just one of their bits of, you know, community work that people like to do and not feel better about life.
Exactly. In the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to propose that?
Yeah.
Push.
Second it?
Yeah.
All in favour?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, thank you, Chris. The window back on there, isn't it?
Yeah.
There were no appeals, were there?
No.
No, okay. So Dave's not here, so we haven't got that.
Yes, I'm going to read this out on Becky's behalf, if I haven't lost it. So this is the Nettleton and Seaview Community Partnership Report. The partnership are promoting a number of events in December. The first one, Thursday the 2nd of December, village Christmas evening, late night shopping, discounted food, carol singers, and the details are attached. And I'll tell you those in a minute, they actually sound pretty good. Friday the 3rd of December, in conjunction with the Mountbatten Hospice, Lights of Love service at St Peter's Church at 6 p.m. Wednesday the 22nd of December, Father Christmas will be at Vic's. Not at the co-op. No, they shouldn't, that's me. On Thursday, the 23rd of December, the partnership carol service is at St Peter's Church at 6 o'clock. Always really good, that one, isn't it? The partnership will be providing pallet trees around the parish as last year, as well as smaller wooden trees made by the men in sheds, which will be planted in the planters. These will nicely marry with the Nettlestone and Seaview Parish Council's Christmas lights and decorations. The partnership would like to extend an invitation to councillors and any other interested parties for their wine and cheese event taking place at the North Bank Hotel at 6:30 this Thursday, November the 18th. Some little details, and I'll put these into the minutes for people to see. On that late night shopping, this and that will actually be offering complimentary Prosecco and mince pie and other things like that. Lily's Coffee Shop will have mulled wine and treats. CV Art Gallery, Money Off, Community Shop, Personal Hampers, Chicken Ball. Well, no, I just think
it's a really good effort.
Seaview Hotel,
yeah, you're doing well.
10% discount on the bar and bistro food are there. The Old Fort, 12.5% discount.
Yeah.
Seaview Pizza Kitchen, 20% discount. A lime and chilli, you can get a poppadom, a dip, any traditional chicken curry dish with rice for £12.50, eating only.
You can't say anything on Sky?
Well, yeah, could be on QVC, yeah. They will also have carol singers, harmonics, which I was doing.
That's what I was talking
in
about.
The village, and maybe Santa will make an appearance if he is not too busy. Well, she's teasing us there. I don't know if he's going to be there or not. I don't. Thursday the 2nd.
Rob doing it.
Thursday the 2nd.
Or is Johnny doing it?
Thursday.
I don't believe in him, so it doesn't matter.
Thursday.
Are you going to put that up on the post?
Oh yeah, this will all be included in here. Yeah. It's good. Yeah. Well, I just thought, you know, as so many local businesses are trying to support it, I thought it's worth giving them their due there. Yeah, and that kicks off, well, it just says it's late night, so, you know, it'll be obviously open normal hours and staying open until later. It doesn't actually have a closing time, so.
No.
Late. Yeah.
Okay, is that it,
Brian? Oh, yeah. Okay. That's at the end of that report.
Okie dokie. So, next thing is the Seagrove Pavilion Trust. Well, that's me, and nothing really to report, other than the fact that we've got the dishwasher fixed, we've got the lights working inside, and I'm working on the lights in the dry. And the electrician who's coming on Thursday's got COVID. But he's been a struggle to get him here anyway, you know, but that's where we are. Nettleton Residents Association.
Oh, I don't think there's anything.
Okay.
Iwalk? The only thing I've got, there's quite a lot going on with Iwalk at the moment, but then that's sort of not generally, there are some meetings. What I was just going to say was, I think it was sent out today about that, a reminder about the Code of Conduct.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, which is next Wednesday, 6:30 to 8:30. Can you I'll go to that. Can you put me down for that?
Right, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, we've got to book our place before
the 20th, isn't it?
Yeah. Which is Saturday, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if we book it and we don't go, the council gets charged £25.
And it's virtual now as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's virtual. Yeah. I just think that probably it's something that people ought to go along to.
When is it?
It's on Wednesday next week.
So it's on Zoom, isn't it?
30, yeah.
Or Teams or whatever they use. Yeah.
So you can learn how to bend but not break the rules.
No, no, no.
That works both ways.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Apparently not. Yeah. Right, okay, thank you, Trish. And other, is there any other report? No. Lynn, you got something to say?
Well, can I just mention that Silver Surfers started in here last week?
Okay, I didn't know that.
We're doing it next month on the 8th of December, but what we're really short of is people to come and just help. So if you or know of anybody that you don't have to be very computer competent to come and help.
I had this conversation with Rosie today, actually. Now you just reminded me.
Yeah. If you're Army Lynn, I will come and help in the afternoon.
When is it?
The 8th.
I remember.
If you can spare an hour, yeah, that would be fantastic.
Is that the thing that's going to be fortnightly?
Well, it was fortnightly originally. If we can get more people and have a rota of helpers, yeah, then it would be fortnightly again, but at the moment we're looking at once a month, and both people that are coming who are thrilled to bits that it started again. Yeah. 17 people.
Now, I've kept meaning to say that I'd be very happy to come along and act as one of the.
Thank you.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, I might do that. I might do that.
Yes.
Okay,
so they bring laptops along, do they? Or
they bring laptops or tablets.
Right.
Some of their needs are very basic, but between us, the way it seems to work, actually, Mark, is that people have got little bits of knowledge that can help somebody.
Yeah.
Like I
think Roy wanted to say something.
So it seems to work. And the thing is, because some of us are a little bit more confident with computers, even if you don't know, you're happier to sit there and fiddle to get the right answer for them, that they don't have the confidence to do. So all of the above is
great. Excellent. Roy, were you going to say something about the football?
Yeah, I'll be the others. Seaview football. Mm-hmm. Put it down to Seaview, and then it's always on the agenda. We've amalgamated walking footballers now, people over the age of 50, and it's been very, very well supported. If you want to kick a ball about, ladies as well, I suppose. But it's started, and it's too well supported at the moment. They can't take any more members on. We have also started on Saturday morning, youngsters.
Oh, that's great, Roy.
Parents bringing their kids along. I'm not talking about youth team footballers, I'm talking about 5-year-olds, 6-7-year-olds out there.
And nursery football, they call that.
Yeah, age group, yeah. Call it nursery football.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's not youth. Yeah. And they've got goals, got the use of the football pitch, yeah, and the parents have got the use outside. I put chairs outside for them.
Great.
And there's at least 12 kids there every Saturday at the moment. And I think it will go further with the parents getting the children out of the house for a couple of hours. So that's Seaview Football Club.
Brilliant, thank you, Roy.
That's expanded.
That's great, thank you, Roy. I'll stick a regular heading on it.
Who's actually running that one?
Martin Heller started it, and I can't remember the lad's name now. He lives in Solentview Road in the corner, Eastwood. He's staying at Martin's at the moment. Is it Steve?
Yes, Steve.
Yeah,
that's great. Well, my
he's got two
kids, yeah,
and all of a sudden there's 4 or 5. And now I'll tell you now, if it's a nice day on Saturday, there'll be about 12, 14, 15 kids. So it's not the children; it's the parents who want to get them out of the house.
Yeah, that's that's how my daughter's ended. She plays for Brading, but she's done it for years, and she gets. But if the club's been up and running, then the culture at Aitchie Secondary School now and really established it.
Yeah, but you see, the secondary school kids, what can do, they look after the smaller kids.
Yeah,
so they don't always have to play.
Yeah,
that's how it
learn a
evolves.
Bit of coaching.
Yeah,
it's good, isn't it? Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's us.
Right. Okay. The next thing is defib signs.
Oh yeah.
I think we've got a big 5 defib related around the parish, but I think it'd be useful we did sort of talk about this a little bit last month, didn't we? I think it'd be useful to have signs. Well, Brian is these are the DFIBs with a postcode, and this is your nearest one, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But Brian said he can make a little cube. What do you call those codes?
QR codes.
QR codes, yeah. Where you can point your mobile phone at it and it'll give you directions. Rather like our info media.
I'll host it on our website, the stuff it will go to. So I mean, QR code, and very much like the Bromley Trail, where people are out and about, and it'll give you a map. And we'll probably... Sorry, but Don is still with Thunder. I think one thing that's worth explaining is, we have spoken to Island Road to ask them about putting signs on street furniture, and we got stuck in the long grass of, that's not something we do at the moment, we're going to take it to the Isle of Wight Council to see if they'll support that in the future.
And if we put them up, they'll take them down.
Yeah, they'll put them up and they're there. So what we thought was, Barry's suggestion was to use what we can, our own assets where we can put signs up. And I said, well, we can put the QR codes and actually have physical addresses and say your nearest one's here at each notice board.
Yeah. We've got five, haven't we?
Yes, five.
We've got
Seagrove Bay, here, Masonic Lodge, Seaview Yacht Club, Neffleston Primary School, and Bull and Cross.
Six,
yeah, we've got six.
Bull and Cross. Did you say Gully Road?
No.
But people don't know this one here.
This is why it's important to put some signs on.
Never went on this.
Where is it?
One.
Where is it?
What, Bull and Cross?
No, this one. I know it's Bull
and Cross. Outside, yeah.
It's on the road. It's on the outside of the building.
Yeah.
It's on the building outside here.
Oh, I'm a caretaker. I didn't know it was
that. That'll explain why the batteries run out.
Not the DFIB. I know that. I'm talking about notice boards. I thought you were saying...
Notice boards. Sorry, Barry's asking about notice boards.
Yeah, that's what I was asking.
Sorry, notice boards.
Where are they?
You've got Course Avenue, Horstone Rise,
that's them.
Nettleston Green.
Well, you said no when I said
Madeira Road. Yeah.
We're talking two different things.
Yeah.
Oh, did you know there's a DFIB on the outside?
There is, actually.
There's no notice board.
Yeah. Anyway, fellow, we've got nothing on us, Barry.
Yeah. We just need someone to play a banjo. So, you guys happy for us to sort of do that forward?
It's not going to cost us anything.
No, it's just
we don't have to spend any money.
Laminate paper.
I can make the signs, laminate them, stick them up, and pop some stuff on the website. And no one can take them down either because they're our notice boards.
Could you stick them on, say, you know, there's a football sign? Could you stick them on that football sign?
No,
that's
what we were asking to do. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Never know, they might come back and say it's okay.
Well, there may be some.
There's no harm in asking.
Oh, there's no reason
why perhaps we couldn't have one in the community shop.
Anywhere like that that's got its own notice board. I'm sure.
Hotel?
Yeah, Vicks would probably do it, but the thing is, it's so close to our notice board. That's one of ours.
That's
one of the ones we're talking about. Yeah,
I'm sure there'll be other places that we could put them.
Anywhere that's happy to put them up.
Yeah, they have to be laid out in such a way that you put them on the right notice board, because, like, here's a list of, but this one's your nearest.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't want to put that on the wrong notice board, would you?
What worries me slightly is that if I was in a panic about something...
Yeah.
Would I actually... The first thing you've got to do... Well, where's the notice board to go
find out there? I've got to be honest, when you look into this online, there's no real... You need your scenario, you're quite right. When it really comes down to it, you've got to dial 999 and that will tell you if you're near one. This is more about education over a long period of time. People go, it turns out there are a few, so just to get people on board with it. Because that's one of the first things I thought, I wonder if, like, when you need, you don't actually find it like that. That scenario just doesn't happen.
No.
You know, it'd be a freak occurrence to think, I'm in the right road at the right time and I've got an arrow pointing in the right way. My heart attack. How handy.
Think of it, I was in the co-op down by the lifeboat the other day, and they've got like a community television beyond the counter. And rolling stuff like that. Or did you know your nearest DFIB is, and I thought, what a good idea.
It's another good idea. They're expensive, funny, them things.
I'll create those signs and QR codes and
CPOs.
That started because as Sarah said, I went round the day and asked me to go with her to have a look at her problem with her trees. And if you look at the parade, there are two, what are they, Philip?
I think one's a red pine. They're both conifers, but they're mature.
Yeah. Well, that Ben fella said they were cypress.
No,
that's his. That's his.
I don't think they qualify.
Yeah. Oh, I know what you mean. In front of Ray.
Yeah.
On the grass there.
That's it. I know what you mean. Yeah.
How many is it?
There's two.
So, two.
And I was mindful of the request last time to let Velma know if we wanted any. And I mentioned it to Brian, and he said, "Oh, he said, why don't we just do it?" And actually, since I actually asked you to put it on there, I believe Iron Roads have come along and taken some of the branches off because there was, there's some new bands taken off, and I saw them, I could hear them, and I looked out. Presumably, if they have TPOs on them, they would have. I can understand why they have to do it.
Oh, yeah.
But, it sort of.
Yeah, we'd have had a notice.
Yeah.
That work was going to be carried out.
And they are quite nice. They are very nice trees. They're quite old. And it, bearing in mind this worry about what they might do in the future, I thought maybe that.
It's a good idea. Yeah.
So if someone likes to propose it, and then I'll put the paperwork in.
I proposed it already, haven't
I?
Seconder? Seconder.
In favour? Brilliant. Carried.
Can I just say that they're very much part of the street scene.
Yeah.
We all know what streets are like with no trees.
Yeah.
They're awful. The nice thing about this road is that it has a fair number of trees, and it softens the buildings and it makes it a pleasant place. If those trees aren't protected, they could be taken down because I believe they're on Isle of Wight land. Council land, and they can do what they want.
I don't want to say that, but also, when I look at stuff, I'm a complete layman, I don't know anything about this. I look at those, and I think if you cut those down, that'd cause a lot of instability in the ground around there.
Yeah.
I'm sure, like, when you take them around, the roots must be huge and go in all sorts of directions. Of course, you're spying your
dad's house. Their two houses have been on as well.
Yeah, I reckon as well.
You won't want to be moving through that kitchen.
No. Okay. Finance Working Group, set the date and venue of the December.
And something we've got to sort of shoehorn into this, unfortunately we have four members. We have the chair and the vice chair, so that's Barry and Dave Adams are part of it. And Mark Ginnart Davis also in May signed up to be part of it. Unfortunately, their fourth member was Councillor Jenkins, and as she stood down, she won't be it. So we'll need another volunteer to take part in the Finance Working Group.
That's the question.
What it involves is, it's the main part of it is we have one meeting, and it will be in the first week of December, and we need to decide how we're going to do that tonight. Last year we did it on Zoom for COVID reasons, which normally takes place in person. Yeah, thank you.
There's no lights. On that road,
Right, let's stop the meeting then. And by then I'll have prepared a budget based on things that you suggested to me and you like, and the costs I understand are ongoing, so it'd be to have a look at that, see if you think it looks reasonable before we then bring it back as a recommendation to the rest of the council at the meeting following, see if they accept it. And the other thing is to go through, there will be some paperwork to look at, like bank records and things like that, and things like where I've been recording my expenses, and just to sign it and say yes. So it's not arduous, is it, Barry? No. But it is a little bit of time, because it does take explaining what the budget's all about, and for you to have input into
it. Just a suggestion, Brian, while we're looking at the next item, I'm jumping to the next item on the agenda, could we not do it on the same day? Providing it's approved for the 13th.
Well, go early and do it.
Hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Would that be
No, not really, because by then we might be able to actually bring a recommendation in.
Right, okay.
And you know, so you want. Yeah, no, see, I like the way your mind works, and it was a good one. So but because by January we need to have submitted it to the Isle of Wight Council for them to come up with their precept.
Okay.
So, it's a really good idea, but I liked it. But we probably do need to do it that first week of December to give a bit of wriggle room for reworking the figures or something like that.
Well, we don't have to get a volunteer tonight, but if anybody wants to go home and think about it.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Mark.
Okay, Mark, thank you.
Yeah.
Right, okay, and then
now we need to sort out
the date.
Yeah, so probably that first, I think it's that week, the 29th of November to the whatever it is, the 3rd of December. Probably something like, maybe Tuesday the 30th of November? How are people, because it is a Tuesday, Tuesday the 30th?
So New Year's Eve is on the...
November.
Yeah. Oh,
of November,
thank you,
Tuesday 30th of November.
Yeah.
So that's this is for the finance working group meeting, and
except that you've got December finance working group. That's what I was thinking.
Oh yeah, no, sorry, I put it because it's the first week in December. Oh. Sorry, that was just rubbish wording. I should have actually put the annual meeting
December.
Oh no, that's the next. That's the next one, Dave. That's the next item. Mm. Yes. So.
Yes, sorry.
We could make it the first, or are we going to do it the second? It's late night shopping.
Well, the first, we're doing something on the first, aren't we?
Oh, in the morning already. Yeah. So, should we? What about the 30th of November?
Probably
going to
be away then.
Ah,
and I'm going to be stuffed.
Well, what we can do is we can try and work out. I'll take this offline and try and work out a date that people can make.
Yeah. All right.
And even if we have to do it the week afterwards, we'll do it the week afterwards. That's still this time.
Yeah. What, so potentially the 8th then?
Yeah. Now, what I want, the more, yeah. So potentially, yeah, something.
Yeah, because Mark.
8th? Yeah. All right, 8th of December, that's good.
Yeah, and we need to speak to Dave then.
Yeah, Dave and the other Mark. Yeah. Great.
Okay.
That's good.
Right, so that's
How do you feel about, would you want to do it virtually still, or would you prefer to do it in person?
Can we do it in person? The reason I say that, because at that point you could probably present us with how you do your, the new banking.
No, I totally agree. Because that way we do everything in one go as well, because I can get you to sign the things as well.
Well, not, that's right.
Like last year, I do it now to go around the days after getting to sign it. So we'll try and do it physically.
That way you can present to the rest of the group.
I'll work on a venue. We might end up in here again or something like that. Yeah. Or something to that effect.
Yeah, well, Tuesday's available, isn't it?
Yeah. Should be. Yeah. Great, thanks very much.
Okay.
That's good.
Correspondent, Brian.
Yes. I haven't got
done the December meeting.
Oh, yeah. You just blasted through that. Aaron.
Well, I didn't know.
Yeah, you did.
Well, I jumped ahead to it.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do people think about moving into the week before? Because it's right on top of Christmas otherwise.
Yeah,
well. Yeah, so everybody, if you're doing it, you're going to propose it, second, and you have
all done.
Carried on, that's easy. There we go now.
Make me a
correspondent. I think we have it on the 13th then. That's good.
So that is Sir Peter's.
Yeah. Hopefully, it was still available the last time I checked, so. And if it's not, we'll find a new exciting
back
venue.
To Monday there, aren't we, of course. Yeah.
If not, we'll just style it out with the brownies here. We'll just ignore them. We'll just sit right amongst them. You've all seen it already, but I thought it was worth it bringing up a record. That excellent response from Councillor Jordan about the TROs. That was a really welcome bit of news.
Yeah.
And the other thing, I sent it round yesterday, and I don't know if you've seen it yet, but former Councillor... Keith Bradford has written to the National Trust. It's because they look after Horsestone Point.
Okay.
Yeah, they are responsible for it and for the upkeep of it.
Been through there,
I have.
Yeah,
through the boardwalk.
It's
a mess of it.
Well, a long time ago, I won't go over now because I had flip flops.
And it's all the year round.
Yeah, all year round. And that's what he's written to them about because basically he's got, especially as I know the Isle of Wight Council actually just done some repairs to the road, the walkway leading.
I think that's probably why there's a little sneak into the back of the Priory where the golf course used to be.
Yeah.
Everybody takes that on its way.
It's one of the things. It's a beautiful area, but they don't. Since I've lived here, and I used to walk up, I stopped walking up as well because it just feels.
Yeah. The boardwalk just needs replacing. It's that simple.
Yeah. Right. So that was it for correspondence. There wasn't really a lot of other interesting stuff on my phone.
Okay,
then.
Reports.
Reported. Yeah. No. That was it. And so it's on to finance now. So I'll have to get Dave to sign the bank. I've given you all a copy of the receipts.
Yeah.
So that's just for you to note and see that we have had a few bits of it. And then we have to. And also you've noticed already, I get to say to it.
Yep.
In our new world of going forward, I'll just show everybody while you're here, what happens on a monthly basis is a copy of our bank statement here is reconciled against our finance system. I'll end up with a little report like this, and hopefully the figures match. At the moment, Barry and Dave have the job of, on a monthly basis, and it starts this month, checking that I actually, what I've been doing is filming myself doing it on Zoom, and they can watch through.
Palm tree in the background.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry about that. Yeah. And the sound of seagulls. Yeah. Basically, just going through, making sure it does tally up, and it does. And so Barry signed it, and Dave needs to sign it as well, just to prove that this is to replace them signing checks and signing invoices on a monthly basis. It's two bits of paper. It's gonna do the trees a lot of good. It saves a lot of paper. Yeah. That's for sure. And the next thing is to approve payments. So also give me a list of the payments, which is things like it's items number 103 to 109 on there, and you just need to, whether you're going to approve them or not. It's just the usual. Got any questions about anything on there?
Another move where?
Do I assume the election expenses is the advert?
No, this actually goes back to May, and they took all the expenses for. I thought it was a bit weird because in the past I always get charged £72, but for some reason it's only £36. So for the May election, our total.
Because there was only one venue.
Don't know.
Well, it just seems double.
No, we had two, didn't we?
Oh no, we had to see your hotel.
Yeah. So this is to cover the expenses from the whole election. We didn't actually have an election, did we? No. It was the only election was for the Isle of Wight ward councillor.
Yeah.
So basically this is just them covering, the electoral services covering their expenses for anything to do with the election. Mm. If you have to run a full one and pay for all of it, it can be up to £3,000.
Yeah,
so
you want to do that.
Yeah, that's not too... Yeah.
What, and card everybody in the
package? Yeah, if you want to send out...
Don't ever want to do that.
Yeah, card to everybody and pay for both the venues. Yeah.
What? Sorry. £36, it's not a lot of money. You're saying that is for the
Isle of Wight Council? The electoral services, yeah. No, it's for a parish council one. It's to cover our cost of issuing notices.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Processing the paperwork. When we started talking about what venues, though, because the parish council had no venues, it was just pure paperwork.
Yeah, that's right.
The thing about necessarily all hedge cutting.
Yeah.
Which bit is that?
It's basically the footpath that goes.
Yeah.
That's our footpath
inside the hedge.
Farms do the outside of the hedge, but right. Brystone do the inside of the hedge for us. Right. Right. So that's what that's for. Yeah. Yeah. And they do it a couple of times a year.
Yeah.
So if you're happy, someone will have to propose accepting it.
Somebody would like to propose that? They're happy?
Thank you.
Okay, a seconder, please.
Yeah.
In favour?
Brilliant. Excellent, Karen. Okay. Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
There is a grant application, and it came in literally in the post, and I haven't had time to give it to anyone. It's one we get every single year from the Isle of Wight Music, Dance and Drama Festival.
Oh, yeah.
It's one that we'll support for £50. It's one where they get, give young people, so I'll give you a rough feel of it. It's a competition over 3 weeks every March with around 400 classes attracting 2,000 entries. It's done to encourage young people getting into the arts and the island and all that kind of thing. And traditionally, I think over the last 6 years, every single year, the members have pledged £50. Last year they did as well, and could it end up being on Zoom, they gave us the £50 back, which was good of them. They didn't keep it, they gave it back.
It was.
So it's a question of whether you'd like to.
I'm happy to propose it.
Send it back again.
Sliding it backwards and forwards to each other. So, Kerry, thank you very much. Brilliant.
Right. Has anybody got anything that we can't talk about for information that we can't vote on?
Yes, I've got something that I feel that should be in planning because no one's taking any notice of it. All of a sudden, on Sedgefield Road, we've got an electric motor there. On the corner.
Seafield Road, you mean?
Seafield Road.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now we've got three.
It's for recharging electric cars.
Oh, right. Yeah.
We've got three of those up at the car park at the Wishing Well. We've got three in the CBO Hotel. Why have we put one there in one of our parking spaces on a very dangerous corner when we've got a big car park. I don't think we're putting in a big car park, have we?
No. This is.
But shouldn't that be something down? You can't just put it there. Can't.
But we didn't have any consultation.
That's what I'm saying to you. You've had no consultation.
So it must be on and roads, and it must be infrastructure. Because if it's infrastructure, we can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Elaine, I thought about Sue Howe, because she's walking down with a stick.
Yeah.
She doesn't know that's there.
No.
That's
right. No.
Well, she's moved.
She's
up the
hill now, isn't she?
Yeah. She's next to Sue.
Yeah.
But we can't allow that just to happen in the road.
No.
I noticed
it's not a very convenient place, is it?
I noticed in Ferry Road. Barry, I noticed in Ferry Road there was a couple of cars there that were electric cars, and they had cables coming out of the house over the pavement.
Well, this is always going to be a problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
What are you going to do about that when somebody goes trippy over?
Yeah. Why make it a problem on Seafield Road, right on that corner, when we have got. I'm not sure about the car parking space. Anyone been on there lately?
Not in there. That's
in Pier Road, you mean?
No.
Right, well, that's where they should park them.
Yeah.
Or that's where they should be.
Yeah.
We know this street, you know, who's got electric cars? My daughter has, but she has a charge up at home.
Mm.
But so just put one there, and it was a big article in Sundown's paper the other week. This is outrageous, you're just sticking these things in the middle of the pavement, because that's what it is. It's in the middle of the pavement, not the middle. But on the curb with two posts, and Joe King said to me, "What's that?" I said, "It's for electric charger." I said, "Oh, right. I thought it was someone for electric and another light on."
I think a lot of people thought it was going to be a parking meter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, obviously.
I wonder if the reason they didn't put it in the Pier Road car park was they lose revenue from a parking space.
Yeah, but isn't that silly to put it right?
I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't be a lot of money, would it?
No.
I mean, I know when we have the we have the community fair in there, don't we, or something? What is it we have in there?
Yeah, but
in the car park.
Yeah.
Well, we did have a market.
Yeah. And they wanted to charge us about £75 a space.
And we did have
ridiculous.
And we did have
£75 in a week.
They had two mobile toilets in there as well.
Yeah, I know. They didn't really charge us very much. That was quite good, actually. Yeah. Yeah,
but don't you think if that's going to happen?
I totally agree. I don't quite know what we'll do about it.
Is this not something that we should ask Dave to take up?
Yeah, you're right. It is.
Because I mean, when you see it there, I'm saying it's a parking meter. I'm saying it's an electric charger. You might be right. It might be a parking meter.
Now,
it's covered at the moment, so I can't see. I'm only guessing.
Yeah.
But I'll bring it
up to Councillor Adams' attention, because actually it's something that I think he was consulted on.
It would be nice to know the process by which they come to the decision. What are your criteria for choosing these signs?
Like the same process they use for sticking those scooters on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how is that?
Where
by school?
Told us. They did
no. No, and when we complained about it, you know where
they're going. There's more there than they said they were going to be.
Yeah.
I think there's been eight. I think maybe even ten once.
Well,
I've
been
that
far.
Yeah.
Noise me so much.
Yeah.
Can I say what has happened there is either a good thing or a bad thing, but I've seen so many people using them, not kids. Saw a lot of kids using it first. People coming from the ferry, because you can get them at the ferry now. Instead of getting a taxi, you can put yourself on that, you can be home.
Yeah.
And then you can, and if it's in Seaview, you can park it up there and then.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, I just think that was a bad place.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Anyway, it's distracting.
Good places, good places are like car parks.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the ferry. Or
the bus
stops.
The school, next to across
the street. I think people just leave them where they leave them.
No, you get fined.
It costs £10 if you don't put it back in the parking spot.
£10 away. Yeah.
You see them in odd places.
Yeah, they want to be rich.
You've got three parking at the school. You've got three on
the bottom of here.
On the bottom of the road.
Yeah.
And you could trip up over them. It's dark or no lights.
Yeah.
So
maybe if they find permanent locations, and if it's going to become a permanent thing, we should insist that at least the platform that they're parked on is luminous.
Well, Barry,
rather than lit.
There's so many of them about now. Mm. You know, they're all over the show, all over London. Mm. So you know it's going to happen.
Yes.
So we've got to try and make a provision that whatever they're going to be, it's not going to be an inconvenience to anybody.
Okay. Mark, you got anything?
No.
Very quickly, a few things. I know you, Baron, effectively went into the hotel to talk about the toilet sign.
The sign's up.
We put back.
Yeah,
back.
I know.
Still missing a T.
Yes, I know.
Toilet.
Too little.
But it's back.
It's
yeah.
Good missing a T, not missing a P, is it?
No.
I know Brian did write to the Nashers about could they perhaps do some work on the notice boards, yeah. But I don't think he's had a reply.
No, he was.
Which kind of was this?
The one in Madeira Road.
Tony King was going to do that, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
Because it's pretty well worn.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what it would cost to get somebody else to give it a coat of varnish, but it seems ideal for the Nashers.
I'll have a word with them tomorrow.
If you could.
What I'd say, if it turns out, Barry, if no one is up for it, let me know and I'll get a quote from someone. Because it really does need it now.
It does.
Yeah.
Because we charge 15 quid an hour, by the way. No, seriously. Because I got the Nashers to do all the paintwork out here,
yeah.
And I'd get them to weed and it's 15 quid an hour.
50 quid. I think that's 65p more than CWC, I might go with them. No, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
I've spoken recently again to Mark Bowler about parking. We talked about the way parking might be affected a lot in the main drag. He says yes, he's well aware of the issues of parking around the school and outside Vicks in particular in those parking bays. He's going to get some civil enforcement officers down there as soon as he can, but yeah, they have this issue across the island, so he's got like a programme of this school that week, this school that week.
Is he?
I know the school's really excited about though, genuinely, they're really, but yeah.
Is he also aware that if we have double yellows along Old Sea View Lane, the effect of what that will have on Eddington Road?
Just
I mean, we've got an illustration at the moment, haven't we?
Co-op, etc.
Yeah.
Finally, we talked about charging points. Does anybody know what's that vacant yellow box?
That's going to be a white. That's going to be a white fibre cabinet.
Where's this to?
Pondwell Hill. It looks awful, doesn't
it's
it?
Just very yellow.
Yeah, and it's got the trunking coming out at the moment. Yeah. That'll end up. That's the base of what's going to be.
Thing lying on the ground.
So basically,
is that going underground?
I think what you'll find is a white box will grow up over it.
Oh, that's the base.
So I could be wrong, but that's how it used to happen.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that. I don't know what you'd call it, a bylaw or a planning condition or something, that all of these street furniture, communication boxes, all have to be green.
Yeah, except for white fibre that could be white all over the island. They're white. Really, yeah.
And I wonder if they're getting away
not,
with that.
Not in the conservation area. I think.
Yeah. Maybe in the conservation area, but up there it's not a conservation area.
Because white fibre at one point used to put advertising on.
Because
it was conservation area.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Thank you for tonight.
Well, you're right, they do use it for advertising.
They can do it, certainly.
In Binstead.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay,
thanks, Stuart.
Is that a good
day?
Fine, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
It's 20:38. Thank you very much.